ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's over. At last, the long wait is over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions.
Until winning last year's championship, it always felt like many failed to take Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets seriously. Things have changed. On the eve of the postseason for 2024, it feels like everyone is afraid of the reigning champs. So will history repeat? Or is Boston ready to translate regular season dominance to playoff glory? Could aging legends like Steph Curry and LeBron James make a mark once more? What of Australian Josh Giddey's Oklahoma City? After an 82-game regular season appetizer, it's time for the main course that is the NBA postseason. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Ogun Ulich is a hoops writer with ESPN. He is here and he is getting us across the storylines that you need to know ahead of the NBA postseason. Ogun, first up, the play-in tournament. Eight teams vying for four final places in the real playoffs. I'm instinctively drawn to the name brand teams because I'm basic like that. And the stars at Golden State and the LA Lakers. Can Steph Curry and LeBron's teams have a meaningful impact from here, do you think?
I still think they can. It's really interesting in the West because there's so much parity, right? And so when you have a Lakers team that has LeBron and Anthony Davis, and then you have a Warriors team that still has Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and a bunch of young guys now.
Steph driving, in, out, step back, three, good. That's a mean step back.
These are still teams that can compete. If you're, let's say, the Thunder, who have the one seed, if you end up getting, you know, the Warriors or the Lakers, that's not necessarily going to be the easiest series just because you're the one seed and they've come into the eighth seed. No, that'll be a tough series. The Lakers especially have been a tough matchup against the Thunder. So the play-in series, like those teams who could go in, and you've got the Lakers and Warriors as the sort of headliners, that is a nice little appetizer to a Western Conference that is wide open, I think, outside of the Nuggets, the defending champs.
Yeah, you touch on the wide open nature of that conference. Pretty interesting to have a man that you once managed in Josh Giddey as part of the number one seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you see OKC threatening for a title?
Oh, I'm of two minds about it, Stacky. On one hand, they're the number one seed. They in one of the toughest seasons yet in the Western Conference, right? So they were able to get that number one seed in a really tough conference, in a tough division as well. They have a top three MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Seven to shoot. Shai does a fadeaway. Oh, what a shot! Going left!
You know, budding stars in Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams, and obviously Josh Giddey, who really popped off toward the end of the season.
Wesley, again, Giddey with the active hands. The Thunder have turned the Spurs over four times. Oh. Josh, the power reverse, and one.
They have a chance to do something special. They are very young, though. That's the only thing. Yes, they have a really great offense. Yes, one of the best defenses in the NBA. One of the best records in the league, but they're very young. They've never been on this stage before. And so that's when the potential of them going up against a Lakers or a Warriors, two teams that have won championships in recent years, there is some level of concern. Yeah, the Thunder are the better team, and they've shown to be that, but they're really young. There's not much experience, and so that's the push and pull with that team. Could they do it? It wouldn't completely surprise me, but it wouldn't be totally shocking if one of the more experienced teams gets the better of them in a series.
We saw in last year's postseason Josh Giddey go to another level. What would you expect to see from the Australian in this NBA playoffs?
It's been a really good progression because the start of his season wasn't great. He didn't shoot it too well. He found a really tough time finding his footing in a team that had just introduced some more stars. Jalen Williams is a star two-way player on his team that sort of took the reins from Giddey from a ball handling perspective when it comes to ball handling outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And so it took a while for Giddey to really get going, but the shot ended up getting there. He really managed to find his spots and where he really fit in that team.
Forced 10 turnovers. Giddey, 3 for 3. Count it.
And he's been one of their most effective players toward the back end of the season. So he's tracking well to be an impact guy going into the playoffs. He will be a starter for that team. He started every game he played in this season. So all signs are pointing to him being really effective for this team. How effective from a production standpoint, I don't know. Things slow down in the playoffs. We'll see how teams defend him. We've seen teams basically guard him with their bigs, right? So he is basically left open from the three-point line. Is that going to affect him? And this is his first playoffs too. He had a play-in series. This is his first playoff. So it'll be interesting to see how the sort of talent versus youth element manifests in his playoffs.
Defending champions Denver, they might be second seed in that conference, but I feel like they're second in the program only. It feels like they're number one in fans' hearts. Is it fair to say they are still the team most feared?
Absolutely the most feared team. They are the defending champs. They have Nikola Jokic, who is, I think, the best player in the league. He will probably win another MVP this season.
There it is. 42. 16-6 for Jokic.
And it's to the point where, you know, I'm looking at the playoff bracket and you've got this 7-8 play-in game, the Pelicans versus the Lakers. The winner of that play-in game faces the Nuggets in their first round series. You have to put some consideration, as much as you maybe don't want to tempt fate, you have to put some consideration maybe losing that game so you don't play the Nuggets. Because either of those teams that go through, I don't see them having any chance against the Denver Nuggets. They are just so solid. They are the defending champs for a reason. They have guys who are proven on that stage, especially that starting lineup, which is still probably the best in the league. Their depth is somewhat concerning. They have some guys. They've got Peyton Watson, who's come in, and Christian Brown is still great, and Reggie Jackson can do his thing, but they lost some of their depth from last season. So that's maybe a slight concern, but in the Western Conference, it still feels like they're the favorites, and then there's the rest.
Pivoting to the East, and Boston have been far and away the number one seed. It's not even close. We've seen them wobble come playoffs in recent times. It feels like it's time to take them really seriously in this postseason, though. Fair to say, Ogun?
Yeah, they were one of the teams that almost coasted through the regular season. They were just so good. They won a ton of games by double digits.
How about the Boston Celtics? Their second separate 9-game win streak this year. They are 20-2 since February the 4th and the number one team in the NBA.
Really good defensive team, great on both ends. They've got their stars. Drew Holiday was a great addition, just signed an extension with that team. So it does seem like they're the clear favorites, and everyone else, it's very tough to see anyone else competing, especially the second seed Knicks just lost Julius Randle to a season-ending injury. The Bucks are somewhat interesting because they have Giannis and they have Damian Lillard, but they've just had no consistency over the course of the season. You've got the Indiana Pacers, who can run up and down the floor and score a lot of points, but can they guard at a level that you need in the playoffs? I'm not sure. There's one complete team in the Eastern Conference. They also happen to be the best team in the Eastern Conference with the best record in the entire league. The Celtics having home court throughout the entire playoffs is a big bonus for them, and they, I think they're clearly the best team on that side of the bracket.
You touched on the New York Knicks. They've been a feel-good story after seeing that franchise struggle for so many years, but you mentioned that injury to Julius Randle. While they are seated second, I think most hoops pundits are more enamored by Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Do you see them as the main contenders for Boston?
Yeah, and on the Knicks, they still have Jalen Brunson, who's really come into his own as a star, borderline superstar in the league these days.
And Brunson has 61 points.
They've done a lot of stuff really well. They guard really, they're defensively, they're so good. But the loss of Julius Randle, as much as maybe they can fill those holes with guys like Isaiah Hartenstein and some of these players, it still is a big loss. The Bucks are the one, just because of what their ceiling could be. We've seen them at their best.
Now Giannis with Dame, deep three, got it.
This is a championship-level core, obviously having Damian Lillard in instead of Drew Holiday, but this is a core that's won a championship before. It's Giannis, who is one of the best players in the league, maybe the best two-way player in the league. At their peak, at their ceiling, they should be able to compete with anyone. But under Doc Rivers, they just haven't been able to find any consistency, especially defensively. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the playoffs, where you do need consistency. You do need to win potentially 7-game series. And for a team that hasn't been able to string, you know, 3-4 solid games together over the course of this season, it's very tough to see them doing that. But if they can play to their peak, then all bets are off, I guess.
16 teams will enter the postseason proper. Who's your tip to win it all?
My tip to win it all is still the Nuggets. Until someone dethrones them as champions, they go into the postseason healthy. Nikola Jokic is still playing the best basketball of anyone on the planet right now.
We go under a minute. Jokic, three-pointer, fly. Jokic hits!
Very tough to look away from the Nuggets. And my hope is that we do get a Nuggets-Celtics finals. They are the two best teams in the league, I think. They would be the two best teams in the postseason, I imagine. And so if we get that finals, then I think we're in for a cracker.
I can't wait to devour what feels like the real start of the season for the NBA. Olga Lulich, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Dackie.
Headlines. And staying with hoops, Caitlin Clark has been taken number one in the WNBA draft by the Indiana Fever. The college star has arguably transformed the sport before turning pro. She captivated fans in taking Iowa to the final of the NCAA championship game. Nearly 19 million people tuned into that fixture, which was a record audience and it dwarfed the men's equivalent. We did a whole episode on the Clark Effect. You can find that in our feed. Great listen. Three Australians were drafted. Nagia Poch went at 12 and Izzy Borlase at 20. They're both heading to Atlanta. Jazz Shelley was selected by Phoenix at pick 29. In the AFL, ongoing challenges around concussion has led to the retirement of Collingwood defender Nathan Murphy, aged just 24. The Magpies suffered a head knock in the grand final win over Brisbane and struggled with ongoing issues. After taking advice from the AFL's medical concussion panel, he's decided to walk away.
Not many people get to say, like, they live their childhood dream, and that's why I'm just so fortunate and grateful for this club, because they've given me that opportunity, and I think ultimately I got to do what I loved, and I think that's why I came to this decision.
Murphy follows the high-profile retirement of Melbourne midfielder Angus Brayshaw in February. Again, we covered the growing issue in that space. That story's in our feed. A bit going on in cricket. Pat Cummins has been named Wisden Player of the Year. Not bad, given the heat he's drawn in recent seasons. Travis Head, meanwhile, scored 100 from 39 balls as his team Hyderabad beat Royal Challengers in the IPL. And Mitchell Starc finally had a day out in the very same competition, taking 3 for 28 as Kolkata beat Lucknow Supergiants. In the NRL, Zach Lomax and Parramatta, they have made it grid official. The unhappy Dragon will join the Eels in 2025. We've got a bit of an awkward season coming up for the back at St George Illawarra. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Bally Sports, NBC, ESPN and Collingwood Football Club for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.